Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Ralph Webb showed a little fight today.
Well, they signed Ralph Webb, Jerry.
Well said. Who is that?
Have yourself a night, Ralph Webb.
That's impossible.
Bill, do you tend to get more out of evaluations from the games or the practices?
Yeah, we evaluate everything, so it all counts.
Oh, thanks, bro.
Fish Smithson out of Kansas. Yeah, where do you get that one, right? The nickname Fish given to him by his infant grandmother. By his grandmother. That's a good terminology. You're on first down.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Infant grandmother. Yeah, works every time. All right, 617-779-7937. Let's get to your phone calls. You're Steve in Miami. Hello, Steve.
Hello, hi, how are you guys?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Not too bad. I just wanted to call and thank you guys. I wish Christian was there.
He's here in spirit.
I go to work. Yeah, oh, there you go. Hopefully he's not having too many spirits. But I just want to thank you guys for, I got to leave for work around 10:30, and it's been a pleasure all these years to listen to you, to learn things and get educated about what's going on. And I'm going to miss you guys in the afternoon. I wish you the best of luck.
Appreciate
it. I want to just thank you for great shows and fun and all that. And just ask you a quick question. Do you think the Patriots made a mistake by going after Decker instead of Bryant?
I don't think they made a mistake getting Decker. I think they need both of them.
Why couldn't they add?
Yeah.
They could add Dez Bryant if they wanted to right now, couldn't they?
They still have a roster spot.
Right. Well, you always have a roster spot. Yeah. When you're at 90 right now, you have about 30 roster spots if you want.
You can go pick up 6 guys and go find it if you really
exactly.
want.
Exactly. You can do whatever you want. I'll give you a little tip, Steve, since you're working in those hours, what you could do is you could catch us online with – you know, the audio and on demand. It's always on demand. You can listen to us any time. You just get it bit later. Just go on the website.
Okay.
WEEI.com. What is it now?
Radio.com.
HTTP.
Stop the HTTP crap. Jeez, you confused the hell on. What do you think? The guys, Mike Francesa, you know, the new marvel of the digital media? Come on. It's simple as that. Just go to WEEI.com. You'll find it. Radio.com, WEEI.
Well, I'll look forward to listening to you guys still then.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate that. When does Francesa's app come out? Because
end of the month, he said, and he finally revealed one of the big things that it's going to do.
What is it going to do?
He's going to live broadcast through it sometime. So after a game, he's just going to hop on his app and tell people what he thought.
Like in his bedroom or something?
The mic shouldn't be on. Turn it off.
I don't know about you. There's no appeal to this app. I just don't understand it, you know?
What? The Francesa app. What do you need?
I make the lineup better? Yes, I do.
Here's the problem. I would be concerned about this if he's doing it after a game or whatever, because my guess is you don't have a producer living in your house with you to actually be able to do it after a game, Lou. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to do all of this technological stuff by himself.
He's got his driver, the guy, Julio is his name or something.
The driver is now going to be his digital guy.
And it's time to get down and do some sports.
So when does he do this? Like, off the air? Like at night?
Yeah, well, that's
like
what Andy's saying. Like, he's already revealed this.
Apparently, live broadcast, like reaction.
What is an emoji? It's a little thing on your computer.
But here's the thing. Like we've talked about that before. It's like, you know, if after a Red Sox game you could go somewhere and see live reaction from me, don't you want that live reaction to be for your radio show?
Yes. I want it the next day. I don't want you doing something like that. That's stupid.
Why are you going to give out the good stuff before you actually count?
Right. So I can't wait to listen to his show the next day to see how he reacts
to the
Yankees losing 5 straight, whatever.
He cares about lining his own pockets, not about what's best for the
station. I developed this app called Mike's On.
He developed.
And he's crushing the other guy, so he doesn't care. He's not going to lose anything.
I guess not.
Harcourt, Mifflin, Houghton, Mifflin, Harcourt.
What? I'm sorry, what was that?
This app, though, I hate to say it, Andy, there will be a lot of people that will be jumping on this app because it'll be unintentional
Except
comedy.
It's not like a dollar for the app. It's going to be like a monthly subscription fee.
No, it's not.
Yeah, yeah. It's
gonna Is
be
it really?
A subscription
oh,
fee.
I'm not doing that.
You can't complain to anybody because there's no one here to complain to.
Not doing it. Is an Intercom part of this? Can't we get Intercom to give us like a free subscription?
Intercom.
I think, Audrey, you should do something like this.
I'm not doing anything like that.
You know? Maybe I should. I don't do enough stuff.
Kind of did do something like this for a while.
Yeah, it's called Unfiltered.
Right.
I believe it was. For a while. Good luck. Initial reaction.
Stuck us with Alex Reamer.
That worked out well.
Good luck. Good luck to Mike. The problem is, you know what will happen, is that somebody will just latch onto it, and that Funhouse guy will be tweeting out everything off of the app, because he'll pay for the subscription just so he has some content.
He's a big fan of you guys. He's going to be contributing, he told us.
Oh, really?
Oh, he is?
He's going to be telling us about all the good Francesa clips to throw in there.
Good.
All right, good.
We like those Francesa. But I have this new thing. It's called Internet Radio.
I think Christian's doing right about now.
Shut up, Christian. I hope he's doing well. I'm just worried about him. I don't know about you.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers is right. I'm a little concerned. It's too bad
Stroke.
We can't. Too bad we can't
Stroke.
Talk about it.
You know, the idea on Monday was to have a 3-man show, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Not a 2-man show.
Well, if he gets suspended, then I guess it's a 2-man show.
Oh,
on
we'll
Monday.
See.
Yeah. I'm just hoping for the best.
Yeah.
You know, just hoping for the best. That's all we can do around here. So I told you earlier that I did switch over to the Red Sox game last night.
You did.
I go on Twitter, and suddenly I see, whoa, Mookie Betts is, you know, going for the cycle or whatever. The problem with the whole idea of the cycle is it's a fun thing to watch, but it's not necessarily anything that's really productive. For an example, Mookie Betts hits a single, double, triple home run, the home run at the end in the ninth inning, and he's celebrating and getting all excited. But he had one RBI in the game last night.
Yeah.
Right? Actually, he walked too, didn't he?
Right.
So that's a bigger cycle.
I'm not going to be in the downplaying a cycle. I can't downplay no-hitter.
I'm not.
Like perfect games just because there's some random folks that have done it in the past.
But that's what it is, though.
I know, but it's still a cool part of the game. It's still entertaining. It's when a guy like truly steals home, not the first and third crap. I'm talking about Ellsbury with Pettit years ago. When someone does that, that's still exciting. Did it matter in the game? I don't even know if they won that game. So if they lost that game, who cares? Because they didn't win. So the accomplishment is still something that's pretty cool to watch.
It's cool to watch.
Same thing with a no-hitter. Same thing with a perfect game.
Oh, an inside the park home run is an exciting
inside
thing to watch.
Inside the park is another one.
And usually what it
doesn't
is.
Doesn't necessarily mean you win the game.
No,
so
but,
it's on,
no, usually it means the center fielder tripped or he had a bad angle or something
missed
like that.
It, right. And there was no protection behind him, everything else. Sure.
So it's fun. I tuned in last night, Lou. I switched over to Nesson because I wanted to watch it only because, you're right, it's a curiosity factor. But it's not a great accomplishment. You're not doing – it's a random thing. I would much rather if him hit 4 home runs in the game. They might have won that game. They lost that game last night.
My takeaway was sort of mixed emotion, but I understood. This team is so good, right? They're winning so much to the fact that when in the ninth inning and Mookie Betts hits the home run to complete the cycle, that he can celebrate, you know, losing the baseball game.
I didn't have a problem.
You know, that he can look in that dugout and point and laugh and pump his fist and run around the bases and celebrate a cycle, even though they're still going to lose that baseball game. Because I think the situation would have been a little different. Let's just say it hasn't been a good year for them. Let's just say they sort of, you know, they're in second place behind the Yankees. I think you would have seen maybe a different fan reaction maybe today in a call or two that might sit there and say, I don't know how, I didn't like Mookie's reaction to reacting to a cycle and a personal accomplishment while his team was losing. So I think that would have been the reaction you saw if this team wasn't playing well. But they're playing so well that most people are just like, you know what? I don't care.
Yeah, but that's
fair.
They're
going to beat Baltimore. They just took 2 out of 3 from Toronto. Who cares? I'm going to enjoy that. Let him celebrate. That's fine.
I think that's fair reaction, though. If the game meant something and they've got – going into the game last night, they had a 9.5 game lead. It's 8.5 now.
Eight.
Is it 8?
Yeah.
Okay, 8. So – but going into the game last night, they've been winning so many games, nobody's going to get worked up that they lost one game of a 3-game series in Toronto. So, yeah, I didn't have a problem with him celebrating at all. But you're right. If it's a close situation with the Yankees, they were a game behind, 2 games behind the Yankees. How about 1 game ahead of the Yankees? If he's reacting like that, I'm probably sitting there saying, what's it about you or is it about the team?
You would have felt differently about it. You would have had a different emotion, I think, towards it.
Right.
I think you would have. You know, you would have sat there and said, I didn't really like him celebrating it. losing a baseball game. But it doesn't matter. I still think it's a cool accomplishment. Even though,
but you admit that it's random, right?
Yeah, it's random. I mean, listen, like throwing a no hitter doesn't mean you're the best hitter pitcher in baseball. Throwing a perfect game doesn't mean you're a Hall of Famer. Hitting a cycle doesn't mean you're the MVP. I mean, it might be the case for him, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything in the big picture. But that doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. It doesn't mean you can't watch it and sit there and say that's pretty cool. I mean, it just kind of goes into the same group that's like that's not enjoying watching this team play. Because they're still bitching about what could happen 2 months from now. It's like you have no joy in your life. You can't just sit there and watch something and enjoy it. That was pretty cool last night.
Except that what it would have been a bigger accomplishment is if he went 2-for-4 and had 5 RBI in the game.
Or if that last home run was a 3-4 grand slam, a 3-run shot, and they won the game.
Right.
I mean, that would have been the icing on the cake.
Okay, so we're sitting here spending time, and I admitted that last night I switched over to the Red Sox game because I wanted to see him accomplish this. It is a random thing, and it's not necessarily that productive. So he was 4-for-4 last night.
With a walk.
But he had 1 RBI, and they lose the game by 3. Lose the game by 3. So, to me, that's not that big of a deal.
If you had a starting pitcher that struggled, would you rather have him struggle against the Yankees or the Blue Jays? Blue Jays, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is Porcello. Do you see his numbers?
Against Toronto, he's awful against Toronto.
I had someone say, like, oh, Porcello, awful 2 starts in a row. I'm like, yeah, he was awful in that complete game 1-hitter against the Yankees. I don't know what that dude was smoking. But in Rick Porcello's 4 starts against the Blue Jays this year, he's got a 9.15 ERA, 20 earned runs in 19 2/3. His 20 starts against everybody else, he's got a 3.38. So he can't pitch against the Blue Jays.
Why?
I have no idea. I mean, and you know what? Honestly, sometimes that just happens. Like, there might be a pitcher, which we saw with Sale, that I think after a couple of months, you don't score runs for him, now it becomes mental. You know, then you got another guy like Matt Barnes 2 years ago, the last year. He goes on the road, and for some reason, after a couple of months of realizing I'm not pitching well on the road, now it becomes mental. Because now you start, it's August, and you're like, this is a 4-month pattern.
Yeah.
Now I go on the road, I'm uncomfortable. Now I'm stressed out. Now I'm anxiety. Now I'm not throwing the ball free. You know, and it becomes an issue. You know, with Porcello, I don't know. Is it becoming an issue against the Blue Jays? Well, I'm happy that it's against the Blue Jays, not the Yankees or the Astros or Cleveland.
Yeah, good news. I just checked it out. Yeah. I don't think Toronto's going to make it to the postseason.
I don't think they are either. But so, good God. I mean,
bother you.
4 starts, 9.15 ERA after throwing a complete game 1-hitter against the Yankees. It's insane.
It's got to be in his head. That's the only way of looking at it. In his head.
He didn't have anything. I mean... No. Usually, it was really the crushing blow was it the Grichuk home run, the bomb, just four seamer right down the middle.
You watch more of it than I did.
Yeah, four seamer right down the middle. You know, he's a sinker guy. His four seamer is elevated up, try to get guys to chase. You know, up in the zone, more power. You rarely see four seamers down the middle. It's usually a two seamer with sink, and he just location was off. He's walking the first 2 hitters of the game after being up 2-0. Comes out in the second inning, walks the next leadoff hitter. It's just. He had no control whatsoever with his stuff.
I'm not worried about him.
But I'm not worried.
It's a thing against one team. I'm not worried about him. You worried about Kimbrel?
I'm not worried about
him.
I'm
not either.
I want him to figure it out. I think he will figure it out. But I'm not worried about him. I think, did you see that stuff with Lavangie?
Yes. Bradford? Figured it out. Yeah.
He's right. When you watch Kimbrel, it's lefty, slider down and in, curveball down and in, fastball out or half. Now, it might be a transition for him because he's going to have to pitch different sides of the plate. You know, righties, fastball away, curveball down and away. You know, so he may need, it might take him some time to be comfortable throwing that heater in on righties or the heater in on lefties or that backdoor breaking ball to lefties. So I'm curious to see how he reacts to it and sort of changing up what he's been so comfortable doing for years. Because there's no question you get, like the colors, the heat zones he's talking about as a hitter. Like, we didn't have heat zones, we just saw hitting charts. But if a guy's throwing 70% this or 65% in this area, I'm paying attention. And I think with Kimbrel, I think he is getting predictable.
But I do believe that there is a reason, and I think they've figured it out. It doesn't bother me. The rest of the bullpen, I would say I'm a little bit concerned with. Once you get to good teams in the postseason, he's the guy I'm not worried
because
about.
You don't know if those other guys are good.
That's right.
You've seen it from Kimbrel.
Yeah.
You know he's good.
In clutch situations.
I don't know if those other guys are good.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be. But they have nothing in the past for me to, like, if Koji came back in that bullpen, I'd feel better about freaking Koji Uehara.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he's 107, But I mean, I've seen him be good, and then I'll be watching to see if it's the same guy or not. But just there's no track record with those guys for me to feel comfortable about him.
But people are getting worried about Kimbrel, and I think it's because we need something to look and bitch at with this team. They've been too good. That's the problem. Too good. Here's Mark in Southie. What's up, Mark?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, Mark.
That cycle last night by Mookie was great. I mean, people on Twitter last night were saying they're down by three, but they're having a phenomenal year. He's having a phenomenal year. This isn't like when Devin Booker scored 70 and lost by 10 to the Celtics, and they only won 10 games.
That's right. He scored like 72 points, and they lost the game. Yeah. And the crowd was actually rooting for him to keep scoring, right?
And the team's going, they lost by 10. Yeah. But this team, I mean, they're up by 9 games against the Yankees. I mean, come on, the guy's having a career year.
But that's what Lou said. That's the difference, though, Mark, is that you can write it off because normally, if this were a close race,
and he was celebrating behind the Yankees.
This would be a problem,
Mark.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like when Devin Booker did it, when they had 14 wins for Phoenix, and the bench is going crazy, and he's on SportsCenter, leading off SportsCenter with 70 points and a 10-point loss.
Actually, you know what? I didn't mind that because they were so bad.
Okay.
You know, I'm just saying, like,
it was their championship.
I'm just saying, the Red Sox were the Baltimore Orioles, and they're 45 games out of first place, or whatever the hell they are.
Have at it.
And you have a moment like that, then you celebrate.
Yep.
I'm talking about a team that, you know, if they were a disappointment, if they were 8 games behind the Yankees, if they were 8 games above 500 or 5 games above 500, and that happens, you might have a different opinion. But it doesn't matter. They're so good. Have at it. Just enjoy yourself, Mookie. God bless. That was beautiful.
I totally agree. Thanks, guys.
All right. 617-779-7937. If you missed Kirk Minahan this morning, revealing what he experienced over the last week, we will play that coming up in the next hour, okay, in the 12 o'clock hour. We get back to your phone calls coming up next.
Experience Glenn 24/7. Follow him on Twitter right now at Glenn D. Ordway. Now back to more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, Coach. How much was the running game effective in the second half, you know, for you to decide to stick with it and to, you know, chew up some clock on that, especially in the third quarter?
Yeah, we were just trying to move the ball, get some first downs, and, you know, get some production offensively. Didn't really have any in the first half, so we were able to do that, and that settled the game down a little bit for us.
Kind of pisses me off. That was my question to Bill on Monday.
They would lose it.
Yeah, they would lose.
Chew up the clock if they were up 30 or something like that. No, they were actually losing, and it was working.
The guy sounded like Christian's going to sound on Monday.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach. Hi. Coach, I'm over Christian. Here, Coach.
Love you.
Yeah, who's chewing up a clock when you're actually trailing in a game? It doesn't seem to, the concept they already doesn't tried seem to make sense, right?
The passing game didn't seem to be in sync.
Nothing was in sync.
They run the football.
Yeah. Who knows what they're trying out? It's a preseason game. Can you really ask a question about the specifics within a preseason game? Does that make any sense?
Well, I'm just wondering, too. Do you wonder if a coach sometimes looks at a preseason football game and says, hey, if we're running the ball effective, let's just keep doing it. It'll make the game go by quicker. We can get this game over quicker because I just want to get out of here with no injuries.
I'm surprised you didn't get the – can you talk about Ralph Webb?
Yeah.
To get more out of evaluations from the games or the practices? Are the games kind of a test after the preparation?
Everything, yeah. We evaluate everything, so it all counts.
Yeah. Legitimate question by Tommy Curran. He wanted nothing to do with it. Nope. I mean, I'm not telling you. How about the practices you do with the other teams? Nope. He hasn't gone there.
He did the other day. He talked about the joint practices and his positives. You know, take out of both. You know, doing it and not doing it.
That's what I mean.
Because if we don't do it, we can go on our own pace. Of course, if we do it, it's a huge advantage, but I don't want to say that. But if we don't do it, you know, hey, it's no big deal. Actually, it works out well for us, too.
He does not want to give you the impression that he is leaning in any direction with anything. That's what he does, purposely. And that's what he did right there.
Well, somebody ask him about the report of Tom Brady's back?
Actually, yes. Huh. Bill, I know Tom hasn't played in this first preseason game in the past, but just curious what went into the decision to go with Hoyer for the start and not have Tom take some reps tonight?
What? I'm sorry.
What went into the decision for Tom not to take any snaps tonight?
Yeah, some players played, some players didn't. we tried to play people who we wanted to take a look at and get some reps to.
That's his go-to. So in other words, you're asking about a specific player,
and I'm gonna
give you all of the players. How many times have we heard that?
Some players didn't.
How many times have we heard that?
I want to talk about. I'm just gonna talk about the guys on the team.
Right.
Or just gonna talk about the guys that played.
Right.
Or deflect.
Yep.
But Ben Volen's gonna have a tough year. It seems
he's off to a rough start.
I'm just saying, I think it's gonna be a tough year for Ben. Whether it's Brady, whether it's Bill, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know. Is it a globe thing?
What? I'm sorry.
The takedown of Brady as well, like the holder piece of TB12 or the charity event?
I think this is just Ben Volen. I think this is Ben has looked at this and said, you know, I'm going to be the obstructionist. I'm going to be the guy who's going to ask the other side, the other questions. Good, you know, more power to him. Good luck. Back to the phone calls we go. Tim's in Canton. What's up, Tim?
Hello, boys. Lulu, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Tim. How are you?
Great.
Fantastic.
My Rotown radio announcing friend. How's things since you
got back
to Disney?
Terrific, Tim. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that.
Well, I want to, you know, just make sure everything's okay before I ask you about your hypocrisy. Did you just malign Francesa, who I'm not a fan of, for having an app and doing it from his bedroom?
No. I'm asking him for what I said was he's got this app that he claims is going to invent new digital technology. There's nothing new.
All right, so you're questioning that he's going to do a radio show from his bedroom from the same guy who hoodwinked a crew of five to his attic on the water.
It's on the water. Attic on the water. Beautiful views, by the way. Ocean front.
Stringing cans. Right.
The only app you've ever created is mozzarella sticks at Chili's, my friend.
They're not bad, by the way. You should try them. They're good, Tim. You should try them.
And the signal's not that good either.
You know, fine. I'll give you credit, Big O.
Thank you.
You're good at hoodwinking the crew to do the work for you, but you can't be a hypocrite.
I'm not being a hypocrite with this. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you attack him every turn of the way.
No, I do not. No, I do not.
Yeah, you do.
No, I've had my look. Trust me. There were years went by that Frances and I weren't even speaking to each other. I can tell you that. That's not the case anymore. Not the case anymore.
Big O,
we had that big Super Bowl meeting,
right? You remember that?
I do.
It was good. And we get together, a little hugging session. Yeah.
You've never met a fence that you didn't like to straddle, but
that's
when it comes to Francesa, man, you get the little stubby horns on.
I do not, because we play the cuts of Francesa. Everybody does. No, I don't. I don't have a problem with Francesa.
What was the problem? You say you don't have it anymore. What was the issue? Was there like a real Boston, New York with hosts?
No.
The issue.
I'm going to try to get to it, too.
I'll give you the issue. The issue had nothing to do with it. Years ago, Mad Dog Russo and Francesa used to do the NBA weekend. The All-Star weekend.
Yep.
So they used to host Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday during the game or whatever, they would do it.
Yeah.
So there was a snowstorm in the East, and I think that the All-Star game that year was in Denver or whatever. And so Mad Dog Russo had no problem getting out to Denver. Francesa wanted to take a plane the next day or something. He never made it out there.
Okay.
So I was already out there. They hired me. The NBA hired me.
What were you doing out in Denver?
I was out there covering the All-Star game. I used to go to the All-Star games every year.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was doing the Celtics games. I used to do it. So they hired me to do the NBA weekend. And the next year, they hired me and Russo and did not hire Mike. And Mike was not happy about that. He thought I screwed him.
Did he take any shots at you publicly? Did he go after you?
No, he just wouldn't speak to me. I walked up to him one day and said, hey, Mike, how are you? Just looked
really? I don't think Christian and I even realized this. So, like a couple years ago, when we were out in where the hell were we? Arizona? No, Houston. We were in Houston, and he sat down with you. I didn't realize that this was
made up.
Were you a little nervous? Was it with
to make up?
You didn't know that he was gonna.
No, you wanted
to be cool with you. Or
no, it's always when Mike needs something, and Mike needed something. Mike was on AM, and they were starting to take a beating, and he wanted to go over to FM. He knew that we had gone to FM, and suddenly he was reaching out to me. I'm gonna reach out to somebody who can tell me what it's like when you go over to FM.
Two
and what
radio
it really
titans
means.
Talking together in Houston.
Titans might be a stretch, but. We
got to find some of that sound. Because I was reminded. Because the other day, Christian and I, when we interviewed David Ortiz, There was a lot of Lou, you know.
Yeah.
And as you know, Willie McGinnis was the ultimate Christian you know.
Right.
We were searching for someone. Glenn needs a you know. Glenn, you know. And maybe it was Francesa. I want to go back to that because I'm pretty sure he's like, Glenn, you know what radio was like. So maybe
Andy,
that's what it was.
Andy can find the Danny Ainge stuff. You'll find
it. So the first year was a radio row was in L.A. For the Cowboys and the Bills. That was the first year the NFL called us and said, we're going to put the radio stations together. Are you okay? Joe Brown called us and said, are you okay with that? And we said, that's unusual. How many stations are coming? They said like eight. So that was the first.
Why are we playing all this? The history of the Super Bowl with Mike Francesa.
Yeah,
this is part of the app.
Yeah, that was my guess. My guess was Danny was the Glenn. You know, Glenn. You know how it was like in the '80s. That was my guess. I didn't think of Francesa, but that was definitely my guess, Danny.
Trust me, Andy has it all.
Glenn, you know. You know what Chief was like. You know Chief. You know Larry.
But I didn't even realize until Andy just told me that Francesa is going to charge a monthly fee for this app.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, but it's I don't know how many apps you pay for. You pay for a lot of apps? I'll pay for an app. I'll pay $2.99, $3.99, $4.99. How many apps are really worth it?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, pay for apps. Yeah, I guess so.
Would you pay a monthly fee?
No, not for that one.
But here's the thing.
Like, why would I pay with that app to get it right then and there? I understand we want it right now.
When it's on the radio every
day. The next day, I can probably get the
every
same
day.
Reaction on the radio.
Right. It would be like you driving home in your car, because everybody likes to now videotape driving in the car and speaking into the camera. It'd be like you driving home from doing a Red Sox game and giving us your take on the game tonight. Driving home.
Yeah.
And
when know that you're tuning the next day, we're going to do it.
Yeah, I'm not paying for that, Lou. I'm sorry. I love you, but I'm
you
not
pay
paying
for that.
For that.
You
I'm
pay
not.
For that.
But I guarantee you, Andy can find some Danny Ainge where Danny is doing
Glenn,
the same
you know.
Thing.
Glenny? Is he Glenny?
A little bit of Glenny. Yeah, he's got all that.
Oh, Glenny.
617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Lou is rocking Twitter before, during, and after the show at Lou Merlone. We're back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Glenn, Glenny, Glenn.
To go.
Glenn, Glenny,
Glenn. Leave the guy
alone. Glenn, Glenny, Glenn.
To go.
Glenn, Glenny,
what I said.
Glenn, Glenny, Glenn.
To go.
Glenn, Glenny,
leave the guy
alone. Glenn, Glenny, Glenn.
To go.
Glenn, Glenny, Glenn.
Kind of give you an idea
so
of it?
Cute.
Yes. A little idea.
You two are so cute, you and Danny Ainge. You know, that's the way it's going to be with Bill? Is that what I'm in for?
Probably, yeah.
Huh?
Probably.
No.
Is that what I'm in for? So we're going to do that on Monday?
He liked Glenn, but he was never super chummy. Like, Diassi was the one, like, basically sitting on Bill's lap. But
I was the one asking the tough question.
Let me ask, seriously, who's going to be, like, a chummier more? Who's going to kiss more ass? Those two with Bill or me with Alex?
You with Alex.
That is such a lie, and everyone knows
Alex.
It.
No, it's a baseball thing.
That is such a lie.
You and Alex. Yep, there's no question about it.
You guys want a love fest, we got to get Bird back on the show.
Larry.
Man, how you doing?
Good, bud. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Chummy? Is that Chummy?
Larry.
Chummy, that for
Hi, Larry. Hi, Larry. No, the difference is this. I respect Alex. I like Alex. But I'm not afraid of him.
Oh, please.
You know what
please.
I mean? I don't fear Alex Cora.
When's the first Alex Cora show? Next Wednesday afternoon, right? Next Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, but I'm not afraid of him. Like, these two will be with Bill. They'll be shaking in their boots.
I'm not afraid of Bill.
Huh?
I will have no problem with Bill. I'll ask tough questions with Bill. I always have. I won't have an issue. The fact that I am one who admires what he's done, what he's accomplished, that's a problem. Now, if the guy sucked, and I was latching on to this sucky coach, it would be what
the fact
are you doing?
You think you're good.
You're
at his
a rump
job.
Swab. You can't be a rump swab when you're sitting there respecting the fact that the guy's been that good at his job.
If you think Bill's does a good job as a good coach, then yes, you're kissing his ass.
that's
where I put it.
But that's the problem. The difference is when you're a rump swab for somebody who really sucks at his job, that's an issue.
Yep.
That's a problem. You can't do that, right?
No.
So, okay. I was a rump swab of Larry Bird. Oh, anybody have a problem with that?
You used to kiss Bobby Valentine's ass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, Bobby. Hey. Good to see you this
Bobby
week.
Wanted to kill me.
Yeah, so one time he wanted to punch you in the face.
Let me ask you this.
Now, Rich Keefe's got balls.
Yeah. He's good at it. I'll give Rich Keefe credit. He has been very good at these interviews.
Like I said, Ryan,
Yeah, Farrell, that was outstanding. That was entertainment every year, every week.
But you just brought up the difference for me. With Bill Belichick, I respect what he's accomplished. With Bobby Valentine, I kind of think he's a fraud. Is that fair? Is that fair? And I at least I would say it to Bobby's face. Yeah. Right?
I did once. I don't know if you were drunk that day or what.
No, I did it numerous. Wanted to kill me at many
challenged
first
your manhood.
Question he asked him, he pissed him off.
Yeah.
I'm going to dig that one out. He asked him about doing the Michael K show.
That was the first
day.
Bobby
got pissed.
First Bobby Valentine interview, I pissed him off. First one. We'll find it. First one.
Well, after, now, he got the job, after he got the job, yes. He did a Michael K interview? Was that what it was? In New York?
Yeah.
Huh, I forget that.
Like I said, Andy being on the show now is so great because we have an Ordway.
Nice. So you're gonna be like that with
absolutely.
See, I wouldn't be like that with Cora myself, and I'll tell you why. Because to this point, I think he's done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has he made mistakes? He's made mistakes. I think you called him out yesterday in a mistake. Now you probably won't do it next Wednesday. You did it when he wasn't here in the room.
I'll wait till he leaves.
Right. You wait till he leaves, and then you'll do it.
Oh, yeah. No, I will.
Brian Johnson should have been out of the game. Brian Johnson.
I will.
You'll go next Wednesday and say, what's up with Brian Johnson? Why do you pitch him in the sixth?
Oh, I know
this.
I won't be as intimidated with Cora as you two will be with Bill.
I will not be intimidated with Bill one iota. No, you don't.
I sent a text to Alex Cora that basically said, hey, I just got some sushi and Chinese from Ming's. Why don't you grab a six-pack and get your ass over here?
Yeah, that was weird.
He was weird. That's what you're going to be
actually,
like every Wednesday. That's what you're going to be
that.
Like.
I remember that. In the offseason, I sent similar texts to Aaron Boone as well for some reason. Like to Cora and Boone. Like, you know, you just, for some reason, I don't know why their names are up there, and I just sent the text by accident, inviting them both over for like a couple beers to watch the game.
And then you made the statement on the air that you wanted Gabe Kapler to be the next manager of the Red Sox. Remember that one?
Yeah. And I also remember you two interviewing Cora and bringing that one up.
Do me a favor.
Right away.
Do me a favor, Ryan. See if you can find that audio where Lou wants Gabe Kapler to be the next manager of the Red Sox. I want it in the open for the Alex Cora interview.
And I'm sure you'll probably continue to play why that was said because everybody in this town was taking my take. Who didn't even know Alex?
Oh, yeah.
Was like, I think he's the perfect manager. Just taking every word I said about him and just regurgitating it all over the place.
It's like you
didn't even know who he was. So it got so bad that I was like, you know what? No, everybody's on Cora.
So
everybody's
on Cora. Wait a minute, everybody was stealing your take now. Is that?
Yep.
Please, the way you steal Jimmy Stewart's takes.
Yep.
On the NBA. Yes.
I still think there's a very good chance that Kyrie Irving's not on this team September 1st. I'm hearing he wants the Knicks. He wants to go to the Knicks. That's what I'm hearing. And Danny has considered moving him and moving forward with Terry Rozier.
This personally offends me.
You have beautiful skin. That would be a comfortable sweater. Come over to the truck for a minute. Yeah.
That's the NBA insider, Celtics insider for our new competition. Looking forward to this. This is going to be good.
I love him.
It's going to be real good.
Real good.
All right, so Bill Belichick on Monday.
Yep.
Alex Cora on Wednesday.
Dig up Glenn pissing off Bobby V in the first.
Good. We're excited about doing this each and every Wednesday throughout the baseball season, Bobby. Yeah. I do want to ask you this question.
Uh-oh.
You're going to do a weekly radio segment on the local ESPN station in New York as well?
I can't even imagine that we're doing our pregame of the preseason, and you're actually asking me my first question about something like that.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the answer is yes. Absolutely. Go do it, I think, once a week with my good buddy Michael Kay.
Right out of the gate.
He hates you, right?
That was the first question I asked him on the first show.
Yep.
Do you have the balls to throw something tough at Alex Cora next Wednesday?
Absolutely.
With your first question.
Was he doing a radio show once a week somewhere else?
But that was not a legitimate thing. I mean, Bobby Valentine, my feeling was, he wasn't truly invested in this thing. He still had, he was latched on to New York. He was still doing media stuff in New York.
That
was an issue.
What happened to the advice the other day?
That was a legitimate question.
Me, when you were... sucking up the Bill and you came out. Maybe it was earlier in the show. I don't even know. And he said, Lou, let me help you out. The object, when you do an interview, okay, you want to sort of butter him up a little bit.
Yes, you do.
You want to butter him up. You want to get him in a good mood.
Yep.
And then you want to ask the hard questions.
Strike.
So this is how we're going to attack Bill. I'm going to butter him up. Yep. Chris is going to butter him up. And then you're going to ask him about Malcolm Butler.
Exactly.
But with Bobby V, right away, you just went right for it.
I went right for it.
So why didn't you butter his ass up?
Something like that.
I am.
Why didn't you butter him up?
Things weren't going so well for Bobby V right out of the gate. If you remember, right out of the gate, there was What did you
was
think?
That before the
– hold on. If I remember correctly, because it's been played a zillion times in the market.
I would like to have played for
him. NBC Sports Boston, Lou Maloney, I would have liked to have played for Bobby.
See, the whole thing's out of context, and
I mean it's out of context?
It's out of context.
I asked the tough questions. You're sitting there going, I would have loved to have played for
Bobby. Because if you heard that whole clip, it was in spring training. He had his pregame, his pre-day show. He was talking to the media, talking about how he likes to hit and run, and he wants to bunt more. So right away, they're like, how would you like to play with him? I said, well, I would love to play with him.
Please.
And if he kept playing, it was because that's the type of player I was. I'd put a bunt down, I'd hit and run, I could do those sort of things, so maybe he'd like me, maybe he'd play me more. But instead, all we do is, I'd love to play with Bobby V, and that's it. No, he was talking about small ball, and that's what I was. I wasn't ball guy.
The only clip I ever heard played on Comcast NBC Sports Boston was, I would have loved to have played
for him. Yeah, I know, and they run it, you guys run it, and run it, and run it.
Somebody else asked him tough questions right out of the gate. Question number one.
Small ball. I want big ball. Yeah, I was a small ball guy.
Episode number one. Asked him. Right. Christian will be the one that will be. You could already tell, couldn't you? In the times we've talked with Christian the last couple of weeks, talking about the Bill Belichick interview,
he's ready to attack Bill.
He's not going to attack Bill.
He's still pissed at all those goal line calls.
Please,
I'm telling you.
See, this would be a good opportunity for him to bring him up, wouldn't you think? Try to in some way parallel them with something that the team is doing now and bring it up. Bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Camp. You know, they don't work as hard as they used to with me when I was there, Bill. What are you doing? Why are you letting these guys off? He'll take care of it.
Do you remember the time that this wasn't that long ago. This was when we were talking about the Malcolm Butler thing. And Christian went on about the time it was a big playoff game. He sat down on Tuesday, found out what the game plan was, or Wednesday, and said, oh, my God, I'm out of the game plan.
Yeah, I'm not even involved.
I'm not even involved in the game plan this week. I'm hardly going to play.
Yeah.
And he was all pissed off. Wouldn't this be a perfect way for him to segue into the Malcolm Butler question by saying, hey, Bill, I want to refer back to something that happened to me and my reaction and how I felt about it. And I showed up on Wednesday. It was a big AFC championship game or whatever. And I was not part of the game plan. I was really pissed off. And I'm wondering, so what happened in the Super Bowl this year with Malcolm Butler? Malcolm Butler was out of the game plan on Wednesday.
Tell
what
happened? That's the way to execute it.
That's the way to do it.
Absolutely.
Related to yourself, he can do that. He played for Bill Belichick.
Yep.
I didn't play. You didn't play for Belichick.
Yep.
So he can weave it into his life and say, now, what happened there?
Yeah.
Perfect way.
Well, let's go.
That's the game plan then. Christian will be our sacrificial lamb.
Christian's going to sound like Steve Burton trying to do this at the
film. A lot to get to.
He had a lot to get going on.
Bye. Oh. And there he is, guys, the coach. Throws it back up. Why'd you let Ninkovich do that?
That's a good question. Because Ninkovich.
Is that Burton's deal?
Because
is that his thing?
No,
that's his baby.
No.
That's his baby.
No, he loves talking to the, what's he called? Kraft?
RKK.
Yeah, no, he calls him something else.
No, you know, Steve loves
big
that.
Fellow
he
the
loves
big,
talking
what,
to
him. What
he loves talking to Bill.
Here's why Ninkovich probably didn't do it, because he probably is not that far removed yet. Like Christian. You would think Christian's far removed. He's been out of the game. You know, he's like 62 years old by now. He's out of the game. And Ninkovich couldn't ask those questions because he would.
What bleep, questions?
He bleeped his
halftime.
Pants.
What? How did the first half go?
Bleep his pants.
How'd the first half go? What adjustments you want to make in a second? I mean, that's all that is, right?
I'm sorry.
You got to put your Doris Burke face on, and you got to go out there and ask
Coach,
the tough
you guys
questions.
Didn't move the ball well in the first half.
Michelle Tafoya, tough question.
What some of the reasons? And you can sit there. Whoa,
you're asking a guy. I'm sorry. You're asking a guy that's afraid of sharks in his swimming pools to ask
good
one
point.
Of the toughest questions to the Patriots head coach.
That's
I don't
a good
see
point.
Going that well.
That's a good point.
Who is scared of sharks in your own swimming
Christian.
Pool? I mean, that is ridiculous.
Christian,
I don't even believe that
commercial
anymore.
One time.
I don't even believe that.
I saw a bear swimming in a pool today.
Yeah, shark, though. By the way, I just saw this tweet. I thought it was pretty interesting. Our Boston Sports Info guy.
Yeah.
You know the Red Sox, if they beat the Orioles tonight, they'll eliminate the Orioles?
Eliminate the Orioles?
From winning the AL East.
It
okay?
is August the 10th.
Yeah, the Orioles, if they lose tonight, cannot win the American League East. They'll be eliminated. Now they could. I guess they're still 7-8 games away from being officially eliminated from the postseason, but it's August 10th.
I got to tell you, that's pretty amazing. August the 10th, we have a team eliminated from the postseason already.
Well, eliminated
from the division.
AL East.
How far are they eliminated from the wild card?
10 days we'll be talking about how they're eliminated from the postseason, so don't worry
how
about it.
How embarrassing is that with the Orioles?
They could shut them down tonight. That's beautiful.
Well, there are a lot of teams, though, you can see are going to be mathematically eliminated here pretty quickly.
Okay.
Here's the biggest problem I have in the next month and a half here, Lou. It's going to be boring with the Red Sox.
Well, you never know.
Unless they go into a slump, the Yankees go into a run, and we're looking at three or four games with six games to play between them in the last 2 weeks of the season. Because if it remains 7, 8, 9, or 10 games, and you get down to the first, second, third week of September, those six games may mean absolutely nothing.
Well, the thing is, I think the division is over, okay? I just do. But it doesn't mean it can't get interesting, because the Yankees, they've already rattled off four straight. Again, I told you, when they lost, when they got swept, the next day we came in, we looked at their schedule. They just had three with the White Sox. They swept them. They got four, I think, with Texas. You know, then there's the Mets are involved, which, by the way, I found interesting because they're actually pitching DeGrom. It's a one game playing on Monday. One game. DeGrom. So they've actually bumped him up to pitch against the Yankees. You know, they kept their rotation. Good. They would have missed him, so they bumped him up to keep him on regular rest. Then I think it's Baltimore, it's Detroit, it's the White Sox again. Toronto's in there.
I mean, they have the easiest schedule. Their next, Yankees have the easiest
schedule. So now they've won four straight. So their next 23 games going into their West Coast trip, which would be like September, say, 4th or 3rd or 5th, whatever, after Labor Day, they could very well get this thing down to four. Because their schedule is so bad. They could get it down to three, get it down to four. But that's what that win did on Sunday night. Instead of it being one or two, it could be three or four. And I don't see the Red Sox just going on some crazy slump either, but we'll see what happens.
No, I think they're probably going to settle down.
But they'll make it interesting.
Yeah, they're going to settle down a little bit. I'm not sure they're going to make it interesting. Their bullpen is having difficulty still. The Yankees still have some issues here.
Yeah, but they're playing such crap that it won't matter.
Oh, you're coming around now in the old crap factor in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, well, they'll win.
There are a lot of sucky teams out there.
But sure does, but last I checked, that loss last night counted.
It did count. Yes, it did count. Still counts. But you know what happens after September 1st, and everybody goes up to the 40-man roster, and now you talk about suck. You think the Orioles suck now. Wait till September the
1st. They have to call up.
They really suck. All right, 617-779-7937. No Christian today. He'll be back on Monday. All three of us will be back on Monday, and we'll be on at 2 p.m. starting Monday afternoon. We mentioned it earlier. You might have heard it. Maybe you did not hear it. Maybe you read about it yesterday. Kirk Minahan tweeting out that he's had a rough last week, and he explained in detail this morning what he's experienced, and it's unbelievable. Yeah. And we're going to get to it coming up in the next hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.